How do you approach the decision about whether to refer a patient with colon cancer to a medical oncologist for evaluation for adjuvant chemotherapy? And I'm particularly interested in stage two patients.
Anybody who's got a full thickness tumor is going to get referred. And I tell them, you've got to have an individualized discussion with your medical oncologist and your family. And I would advise you speak to some patients who have had chemo and see what they think of the experience. I think patient-to-patient communication is critical. When I deal with my patients with ulcerative colitis, albeit a different disease, they're coming in to have a J-pouch, the first thing I say is, what year were you born? And they tell me, and I say, fine. I'm going to look at my database of the last 500 J-pouches, and I'm going to pick five people of your gender, plus minus 10 years of your age, and I want you to talk to them. Because I can tell you everything, but you need to hear from them. Chemo's like that, too, because just like taking out a rectum and making a new one out of ileum, giving somebody a year of chemotherapy is a life-altering experience. And it's an optional one. You can't argue, I suppose, about taking out the cancer. This has to be done. Assume there's no liver mets, there's no lung mets. You can take out the cancer. So they can get information or not, but it doesn't change the fact that they need the cancer removed. Chemo, particularly for full-thickness node-negative disease, is optional, like J-pouch for colitis, perhaps. So patients really should be given the opportunity to hear from other patients. What's the experience? What are the pluses? What are the minuses? So I tell them, I'm not going to make the decision for you. The decision I'm making is that you may benefit, but you've got to look at that risk-benefit ratio with the medical oncologist, with other patients, with your family.
It's interesting because I kind of saw that evolve in breast cancer starting in the late 80s in terms of the use of particularly chemotherapy for node-negative breast cancer, where I saw the surgeons getting more and more interested and referring more and more patients. And nowadays, everybody with invasive breast cancer goes and talks to a medical oncologist. I'm not sure that happens with stage two colon cancer as much.
But I think it should.
I think so, too.
I think that full thickness group is one who is at high risk. I think that nobody's disputing the node-positive patients. And nobody's disputing, at least nobody I know of, that the ones confined to the mucosa are not going to be referred.
Sure.
But that middle group has some potential benefit.
Well, you know, it's interesting because people talk about the breast cancer patient as willing to go through chemotherapy for a relatively modest improvement in outcome. And we found that really nobody had done surveys of colon cancer patients to see what their attitudes. And we did that last year. And that was the ASCO GI abstract that we presented this year, where we surveyed 150 people with colon cancer. And they actually listened to a 45-minute audio where, I don't know if you know John Marshall from Georgetown, he went through the risks and benefits and toxicities of chemotherapy. And afterwards, we asked, you know, granted, these people may be a little bit different, but they were a random segment of people with colorectal cancer. And we said to them, based on what you heard, if you had a loved one in their 60s in good health who had a stage 2 colon cancer, what would you suggest or recommend that they receive it? And 149 out of 150 said yes. Which was, I mean, maybe it's not quite that high, but the point was, it was that same attitude of being willing to go through a lot for a slight improvement in the chance of remaining recurrence-free.
But I think the reason people are willing to accept that now is because the toxicity profile is so much better than it was 10 to 20 years ago. People would have said absolutely not. Now, first thing I tell my patients is this is not the kind of chemo that's going to make your hair fall out and just give you crippling diarrhea every day of the week. And, you know, you do still have your outliers who end up with neutropenia or whatever, and you've got to discontinue or modify. But the vast majority of these people, literally and figuratively, don't turn a hair, and they do very well with it.
The FOLFOX or oxaliplatin regimens are the most common regimens given. We know that from our patterns of care studies. And I guess the main thing people talk about is the cold intolerance that they get and the peripheral neuropathy, which usually the oncologist can sort of stop the therapy if they start getting it. It doesn't really necessarily turn into a really serious problem. And I think a lot of people come through chemotherapy surprised it wasn't as bad as they expected. Is that what you hear back from your patients?
Yes. Yes, I do.